Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
This is stunning, heartbreaking, infuriating, and the most unpatriotic acts I can even imagine for people in this country to have participated in any way, shape, or form. And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Friday edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider, and I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we're talking about the thing that has entire social media in an uproar. Last night on the Tucker Carlson Show, Tucker requested proof from Sidney Powell. We just played the clip from her for you, and last night Tucker... Well, we're going to play his clip in just a minute. And Twitter and Facebook and all across social media, everybody's in an uproar today about Tucker Carlson and Sidney Powell talking about voter fraud. Well, we're going to give you both sides of the issue today, and we're going to tell you where we stand, what our position is from what Tucker said, what Sidney Powell is saying, and we're going to talk about the rapidly closing window that she has to make her case. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we're looking at that closing window of opportunity the Trump team has to prove their claims of vote fraud in a clear, concise, and credible way. If they can't, then the tide of public opinion will turn forever against them, and people like Sidney Powell will watch their careers go up in smoke. As for me personally, I am convinced that the vote fraud began when the vote counting stopped on Tuesday night, and it is my earnest hope and prayer that Sidney Powell has the proof that she says that she does. Today, we're going to examine all the existing evidence and allegations and let you decide for yourself. Last night on the Tucker Carlson Show, Tucker made some people mad when he said that Sidney Powell refused to come on his program and show what she has to prove her claims of vote fraud, but I saw it differently. Tucker was more than fair, even holding the invitation open for Powell to come and make her case, but her window for doing that is rapidly closing. Everyone who watched the election on that Tuesday night, November 3rd, and saw them stop the counting just before midnight as Trump was rising, they know that they watched election fraud take place in real time. But seeing a crime take place and then being able to prove a crime took place in a court of law, sometimes those are two different things. 2 Corinthians 13:8 says, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on today's program. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord. Today we pray for our sister Jeanette, affectionately known as J. Kitty. And she is with the doctors and the hospitals and the testing and preparing for surgery. And we just pray, Lord, that you would guide those doctors and nurses and anesthesiologists and give Jeanette wisdom and courage and just let everything go according to your will and your plan for her, Lord. Let her be a bold and brave witness to the medical staff. And we just pray for a complete healing for Jeanette. Sharon D. says, "My granddaughter in Florida, her husband came home sick with fever and feeling bad." She's going to update us soon whether that's COVID or not. Her granddaughter has three young sons. She says, "My great-grands also got word my sister-in-law's husband died on Tuesday." So we pray, Lord, in addition for Jeanette, we pray for Sharon D., and we pray, Lord, for all the people in her family, her granddaughter, grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. We pray comfort for those who lost, Lord, her sister-in-law's husband. We pray for that family, and we pray, Father God, that for her granddaughter's husband, we pray that it's not COVID, just a run-of-the-mill cold or flu, and we just lift them up before you, God, and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. And there you have it. Welcome to the program today. We're going great guns today. There's so much to talk about. First, let me just show one thing, okay? And I really need you guys to pay attention to this. This is just going to be a quick one. But I really need you to pay attention to this. A couple of days ago, I wrote a story called, Where Is It?, talking about this new amended law that they have in Norway, and they had a message on the books. They had a message on the books. Message on the books. They had a law on the books dealing with hate speech and hate crimes in the country of Norway. And last week, they voted in Norway to amend that law. And everybody was shocked. I even had one man who wrote to me. He said, I live in Norway, and I don't see what you're talking about. And yet, he turned out to be wrong, and we turned out to be right, because we do our research here at Now the End Begins. And, you know, that's one of the things that God showed me early, early on. You have to know what you know, what you know, what you're talking about. And in the very early days of Now the End Begins, I admit, sometimes I was a little bit too quick to publish a story back in 2010 and 11, maybe a little bit of 2012. In the very beginning, I used to have a really, really itchy trigger finger. And when I had a good story, sometimes I wouldn't research it as deeply or as effectively as I do now, and have done for quite some time. So when you see a story on Now the End Begins, we can be wrong, just like anybody else can be wrong. Sometimes a story that looks like it's true, and then when the dust clears a couple of days later, it turns out that it wasn't exactly what you thought it was. But we're very, very careful with our reporting, and we try very... That's why sometimes you'll see that a big story will break, but I won't write about it for 24, 48, sometimes 72 hours, because I really want to get the biblical perspective on it, and I also want to see what's going to happen, what's going to change. So sometimes we report things as they happen, and God has blessed us with a number of breaking stories that we were some of the very first people to bring to you. Other times, there's a big breaking story, and we wait a day or so to talk about it, just to make sure that we're not getting ahead of the Lord. But with this story in Norway, I mean, this, we verified this story from three different sources before we published it on November 13th. And it's absolutely true. Norway has made it a crime, a hate speech crime, if you criticize the LGBTQ+ in the nation of Norway. They are going to bring you to court, they're going to fine you, and depending on how you criticize them, you might spend up to 3 years in a Norwegian prison. And they went so far as to say that's the penalty for criticizing the LGBTQ+ publicly, but then they said, and here's the shocking thing, or maybe we shouldn't be shocked in 2020. But then they also went so far as to say that if you criticize the LGBTQ+ privately, let's just say that here in the studio, I'm having a private conversation and I am critical of the LGBTQ+ as I am on a regular and consistent basis. And let's just say that somebody, I had an open window and somebody passing by heard me being critical inside my own studio in a private conversation with another human being, and somebody heard that if this happened in Norway, they would bring me to court, they would fine me, and depending on how I criticized them privately in a private conversation, I might spend up to 1 year in a Norwegian prison, because that's the new law. So, I said all that to say this. This morning on Twitter, Joe Biden had tweeted something about protecting transgender people. Now, I don't think that any class of person, like, I don't agree. If you disagree with somebody, you have no right to verbally abuse that person in terms of threats and calling them names and harassing them. And you have no right to physically abuse any other human being, even if you passionately disagree with what they say, with what they do, and with what they believe, okay? Even somebody who's a pedophile, you don't have the right to go beat that person up just because you don't like what they do, as disgusting as pedophilia is. And we reported about that yesterday, too. But you don't have the right to take the law into your own hands and go administer justice because somebody else has committed a crime or done something that you don't like. In America, we have courts to take care of that. We have judges and juries to listen to the evidence and to decide if that person is guilty or innocent. And then if they're innocent, to set them free. And if they're guilty, to give them the appropriate and reasonable punishment. But you don't have the right to take the law into your own hands and go beat up somebody just because they're LGBTQ or they're a pedophile or whatever. But this morning on Twitter, Joe Biden had posted a tweet talking about how there needs to be more protections for transgenders, which I don't really get that. It's already a crime to beat somebody up. It's already a crime to threaten somebody. Why do we need special laws for transgenders? We don't. But the reason why they do that is because they want to make a protective class of people out of the transgenders, and they elevate them. And this is what the New World Order is all about. And that's exactly what's happening. So I posted a tweet response to Joe Biden, and this is what I said to Mr. Joe Biden. I said, transgenderism is a mental illness. Why don't you talk about help for these people rather than confirming them in their sins? And within 30 seconds, my account was blocked. You can see the image in the chat room. This is from Twitter. We've temporarily limited some of your account features. We have determined that this account violated the Twitter rules specifically for hateful conduct. You may not promote violence against, threaten, or harass other people on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, age, disability, or serious disease. As a result, we have limited some of your account features. You cannot post for another 12 hours. Now, I agree that people should not be allowed to promote violence or threaten or harass people on the basis of any of those things that they mentioned. But my tweet does not promote violence. My tweet did not threaten anybody. It didn't harass anybody. It is empirically true. It is a factual statement that if you are a man or a woman that thinks they can change their gender through medicine and surgery, you have a mental illness, because That can't be done. A woman cannot become a man. A man cannot become a woman. These things are hardwired into your DNA. They cannot be rewired. And history, recent history, is filled with people who thought they could do that, and women who had their breasts removed and their ovaries and their uterus taken out. And then years later, they came to their senses. They got saved, and then they realized what they did to their body that can never be undone. Transgenderism is absolutely a mental illness. That's a factual statement, but not in the year 2020. In the year 2020, evil and wickedness and perversion and mental illness, it's flipped. And now these people are gaining strength and gaining power. And if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris become president, you're going to see this type of thing elevated to near religious worship level. That's what's going to happen in America. So Twitter decided, their algorithm said instantly, almost, I mean, I said 30 seconds, it was probably closer to 8 seconds. Their algorithm instantly decided that I was guilty of hate speech. And I guess they said that if I violated the rules against not promoting or violence or threatening people, my tweet in the eyes of Twitter and I guess Facebook and every place else, this is where we are. So why am I talking about this? Because this is going to be the new game going forward. In a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris presidency, this is what you're going to have. And you're going to see Christian persecution. Because look, you can't preach the gospel without being guilty of hate speech, of according to how hate speech is defined in 2020. I saw a photo a couple of months ago on Google, and it was this liberal, and he was marching, and he had a sign, and he had this really nasty look on his face, and his sign said, "If Jesus comes, let's kill him again." And most of us have seen that image and images like that. But these are the people who are about to take power. These are the people that if Sidney Powell, and we're talking about Sidney Powell and Tucker Carlson today, these are the people that if Sidney Powell doesn't have the evidence and she can't prove her case of vote fraud, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris become the next president of the United States, and we are going to enter a time of wickedness and persecution that previously has only ever existed in the book of Revelation and end times novels. And I don't say this as hyperbole. I don't say it as metaphor. I'm not saying it as poetry. I'm not trying to be dramatic. But Twitter banned me in 8 seconds for making a factual statement about mental illness. And this is what's going to happen. It's going to happen on your jobs in the workplace. It's going to happen. You're going to lose a lot of friends. Even if you think that all your friends are conservative Christians, you start preaching the gospel and you'll find out how many of your conservative Christian friends aren't really Christian at all. I find that out on a near daily basis. Where all I'm doing is preaching the gospel of the grace of God, and all I'm doing is giving you the news on a daily basis from a biblical perspective. And I have lost more friends than most of you have ever had friends. And the people that drop off and stop talking to me, it gets a little discouraging from the perspective that I don't want people to hate me. I want people to like me. Just want you know, you want people to like you. You want people to have, happy thoughts and good vibes and all that stuff, right? But the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that endureth, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." The Apostle Paul says we're in a battle. This is a war. And in Ephesians, he gives us the armament of our warfare. And, you know, the sword of the Spirit and all these things that we're supposed to put on ourselves on a daily basis. Why? Because we're in a battle. Paul says in 2 Timothy verse 4, he says, "I have fought a good fight." Soldiers fight. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me. Follow me." He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And one by one, they all dropped away from the Apostle Paul. And towards the end, this is what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4. And it's kind of sad. He says, he's talking to Timothy. And in verse 9 of 2 Timothy 4, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Man, that's a rough way to end up. You're alone. And you're waiting for your own execution, and you're down to one friend who's still sticking with you. And 2 Timothy ends with Paul saying, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." Now, we don't know if Timothy ever got there. We figure that Timothy tried to get there. But at the time that Paul wrote this, he said things like verse 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." Amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? You and the Lord, that's the only army that you need. "Notwithstanding," verse 17, "the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And then the day came when God said, "Okay, here's one trial I am not going to deliver you from." And Paul went to the chopping block, literally, had his head separated from his body, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that's the one trial that God did not deliver Paul from. He delivered him through that trial, right from Rome to the pearly gates of heaven. And this is where you and I are today. This morning, Twitter blocked me for 12 hours for hate speech because I said transgenderism is a mental illness. But you mark my words, if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris become president, you are going to lose jobs, you're going to lose position, you're going to lose authority, you're going to lose friends, you're going to lose romantic partners, you're going to lose spouses, you're going to lose children. This is not one day someday. This is not in the far-flung future. This is today and happening right now. Now, speaking of things that are happening right now, let's talk about Tucker Carlson and let's talk about Sidney Powell. And last night on Twitter, when I still had access to Twitter, everybody was talking about Tucker Carlson. And talking about that he was too rough, that he sold out, that he sided with the liberals and he attacked Sidney Powell. Well, I listened to what he said on his show, and I do not think that Tucker Carlson attacked Sidney Powell. I do not think that Tucker Carlson sold out to the liberals. I'm not promoting Tucker Carlson. I'm certainly not promoting Fox News, but I'm just simply telling you that when I listened to what Tucker Carlson said, I didn't find anything wrong with it. So let's take a listen to Tucker Carlson talking about Sidney Powell on his program last night. Here is the clip that caused all the ruckus. Take a listen for yourself.
Here's some of what Powell said today about the software.
One of its most characteristic features is its ability to flip votes. It can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden, which we might never have uncovered had the votes for President Trump not been so overwhelming in so many of these states that it broke the algorithm that had been plugged into the system. And that's what caused them to have to shut down in the states they shut down in.
That was a few hours ago, but Sidney Powell has been saying similar things for days. On Sunday night, we texted her after watching one of her segments. What Powell was describing would amount to the single greatest crime in American history. Millions of votes stolen in a day. Democracy destroyed. The end of our centuries-old system of self-government. Not a small thing. Now, to be perfectly clear, we did not dismiss any of it. We don't dismiss anything anymore, particularly when it's related to technology. We've talked to too many Silicon Valley whistleblowers. We've seen too much. After 4 years, this may be the single most open-minded show on television. We literally do UFO segments, not because we're crazy or even been interested in the subject, but because there is evidence that UFOs are real and everyone lies about it.
So I'll stop Tucker right there. One of the reasons why I like Tucker and one of the reasons why I play a lot of his clips on our podcast programs is because Tucker, for the vast majority of what I can hear him saying, he tells the truth. And I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago and I called him the last truth teller in network news. And I feel that he talks about some things, most things, from a very factual perspective, and he tries very, very hard to get after the truth, and that is why I like Tucker Carlson. That could change tomorrow, and if it does, I'll tell you, and I'll let you know, and I'll tell you why that I think that. But I was really kind of, you know, I was concerned last night because I was watching all these people commenting on Twitter and I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, what did he say? What did he say? And then when I listened to it, I agreed with it.
There's evidence that a lot of things that responsible people used to dismiss out of hand as ridiculous are in fact real. And we don't care who mocks it. The louder the Yale Political Science Department and the staff of the Atlantic Magazine scream, conspiracy theory, the more interested we tend to be. That's usually a sign you're over the target. A lot of people with impressive sounding credentials in this country are frauds. They have no idea what they're doing. They're children posing as authorities, and when they're caught, they lie and then they blame you for it. We see that every day. It's the central theme of this show and will continue to be. So that's a long way of saying we took Sidney Powell seriously. We had no intention of fighting with her. We've always respected her work. We simply wanted to see the details. How could you not want to see them? So we invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either. Nor did she provide any today at the press conference. Powell did say that electronic voting is dangerous, and she's right, we're with her there. But she never demonstrated that a single actual vote was moved illegitimately by software from one candidate to another, not one. So why are we telling you this? We're telling you this because it's true. And in the end, that's all that matters, the truth. It's our only hope, it's our best defense. And it's how we're different from them. We care what's true, and we know you care too. That's why we told you. Maybe Sidney Powell will come forward soon with details on exactly how this happened and precisely who did it. Maybe she will. We are certainly hopeful that she will. What happened with the vote counting this month and at the polling places in Detroit and the polling places in Philadelphia and so much else actually matters. It matters no matter who you voted for. It matters whether or not you think this election is already over. Until we know the answers to those questions conclusively and we can agree on them, this country will not be united. Greg Gutfeld is...
So there you have Tucker Carlson, and he is telling you that he invited Sidney Powell onto his program and she declined to come on. And that's fine. She doesn't have to come on the program. And he was just doing his due diligence. He wants to have the proof. Now, I agree with the people who say that she should not go on to Fox News and reveal what she's about to bring the case with. She shouldn't tip her hand. She shouldn't reveal her cards. I agree with that. You should not let your enemy know what information that you have until the very, very last minute. I totally agree with that. But she could have gone on the program and she could have said, well, Tucker, we're about to release information. And this is going to be a real game changer. She has set a very, very, very high bar for herself. And that's fantastic that she's done that. I want everything that she's saying to be true. And honestly, I think Tucker wants everything that she's saying to be true as well. But the problem that you have is that... whenever you have a presidential election, the outgoing party is called the lame duck party because it's too short of a time to really get anything done. And the incoming party is in a big hurry to get in and to get their people set up. So, what's happening now? The American people are still interested in hearing the truth. They absolutely are. There's no question about it. But with every passing day that goes by, that the proof of what Sidney Powell is asserting is not given, is not stated, people begin to lose interest. Now, what do you think happens when you have a trial by jury? I want you to think about this. When you have a trial by jury, it's a jury supposedly made up of your peers. Sometimes it's 7 people, 10 people, 12 people. And that jury is going to listen to all the evidence. And they're basically going to vote what their feelings tell them about what the evidence says. And that's really what it comes down to. And that's why if you have a trial lawyer, closing arguments are very, very persuasive. And they rarely focus on facts. They focus on emotions, they focus on feelings, because if they can get your emotions, if they can get your feelings, then they can get your vote as well. And so what we have here right now on November 20th, we are 17 days out from the election, and we are 2 months exactly, right now, today, we are 2 months away from the swearing in of whoever the next president is going to be. People are rapidly losing interest in voter fraud. When it was first mentioned, everybody wanted to know, what do you have? What do you have? But if too much time goes by, they're going to miss their chance. They're going to miss the window. And she better have something very substantial. She better have something very, very real, or it's going to be laughed at a court or never even allowed to get to court. And you may think that what I just said was right or wrong. You might agree or disagree. But guess what? It's happening. And that's how it happens in America. If you lose the support of popular opinion, it's very, very hard to get that back again. And judges have all sorts of power. They have all sorts of ability. They can choose to listen to evidence. They can choose to say, no, we don't want to retry that. There's nothing there. That's what judges do. And like I said from the beginning of this program, the window is closing. Sidney Powell, if you're listening, if you have evidence, like you say that you do, and I want you to have that evidence, I hope and I pray that everything, why would you destroy your career if you really didn't have what you say that you have? But you've got to release it. You've got to make your move. You've got to make your case. Because if you don't, if you wait too long, the American people just aren't going to care, even if it turns out that you're right and can prove it. So I think you need to think about that. I want you to listen. It's only another 3 minutes, but I want you to listen to this second half of this clip with Tucker, where he talks with Greg Gutfeld. It's really, I think it's interesting. Take a listen to Tucker Carlson. He's now chatting about the same topic with Greg Gutfeld.
The host of the Greg Gutfeld Show, and we're happy to have him on tonight. It, weirdly, in curious media today, about some of these allegations. Yeah. Some of them weren't proven. That's true. Some of them seem like pretty good leads. Why is no one following up?
Yeah, in fact, even if this stuff washes out, I don't see the problem in actually letting the process unfold. I mean, we were kind of at the mercy of a four-year process, and we were pretty patient. So if we gave you 4 years to undermine the democracy, i.e. an elected president, maybe give us 4 weeks. And I think that's what this story is really about for the voters. It's not just about voter fraud. It's about the trust in a system that was undermined by the Democrats and the media for 4 years. They had the collusion hoax that they basically pummeled us with every day. Then they damned the candidate as like a version of Darth Vader and Hitler combined into one package. And we forget, like, they sowed suspicion that he would manipulate the election using the Postal Service, which, of course, that kind of just disappeared. So no matter what, people have a right. This is what bugs me. People have a right to be suspicious right now because they've been treated like crap for 4 years. So don't ridicule the viewer. Don't look down upon them because you think that this is absurd and stupid. All right? Because you got to get in their shoes first and realize that they thought what you were doing for 4 years was a damn waste of their time, that you made their lives miserable. And so, you know what? I'm small enough to admit that I want to make your life miserable for a couple of weeks. Just a couple of weeks, that's all. Let's do this, see how it goes. Because this, my friends, was a different election. This wasn't Bush Gore. This wasn't Romney Obama. This wasn't even Reagan and that other guy. It wasn't Democrats versus Republicans. This was a movement versus a resistance to a movement. And what was part of that resistance? You had media, you had tech platforms, you had the entertainment industry, you had the elite class, academia. They were all working together as part of a resistance against the movement, against 70 plus million people. And you think that maybe we might think you'd throw an election because you hate this guy so much. You think he's Hitler. Hell, we got rid of Gaddafi for less because we think Trump is worse than Hitler. Why wouldn't we? I mean, my God, we've undermined elections in other countries for less. So why can't we be a little skeptical? And the fact is, everybody hated this guy for 4 years. Why wouldn't they do it? So that's my thing. You know, you nailed it, right? It's almost kind of right now. Let's see how this process goes. Let's see what the evidence is. But I'm not going to take anybody seriously about being impatient over this.
Well, let me ask you a question since you're in the media. Why wouldn't people who are smart enough to have paying jobs in the news media, not that it takes a super high IQ or anything, but why wouldn't they understand that the center of their job is credibility? So if you think the country is too volatile, and I think all of us do think that, I certainly think that's way too volatile, it's unhealthy, why wouldn't you do all you can to assuage people's fears by giving them facts as credibly as you possibly could? I don't see anybody trying to do that.
No, it. I guess maybe they feel they don't have to, because they all are. They're instead of speaking truth to power, they're speaking truth to the bubble. It's not like their peers are expecting them to do it. Now, the viewers would expect you to do it. Like, you know, maybe do a special on what is election fraud? Does it exist? Where has it happened before? And what can we look forward to in the future if we have mail-in ballots or electronic ballots? That's right. Something that, you know, reporters and investigative journalists can do. But no one's putting any... They're going to go into hibernation again, Tucker, for 4 years. They did a lot of work writing those Trump jokes. And now they don't want to do the work. All they want to do is say, hey, come on, it's Joe. Everything's going to be fine.
Totally.
You know, now I can finally get to sleep. No more Trump tweets. I can finally sleep. Never mind that there are no body bags coming home from foreign wars. We had a tremendous economy, low unemployment. He invented the moonshot for vaccines, which years from now will be looked back upon as probably one of the biggest modern achievements. All the things are happening, but that's all canceled out because I was up at night, you know, anxious over these tweets. So that's where we are. That's the media allowed Trump to get to them emotionally. And I'm saying that as part of the media, I let him get to me emotionally. Early on, when he was running, I was like, I couldn't believe this guy. And then I learned to separate the deeds from the words. And once you do that, you see something pretty special, a phenomenon.
And there you have Tucker Carlson talking with Greg Gutfeld. And I just wanted you to hear that little sidebar conversation that they had so you can help to round out your opinion in this matter. And then lastly... we have a clip of Sidney Powell this morning with Maria Bartiromo on Fox News responding to Tucker Carlson from last night. So let's take a listen to Sidney Powell responding to Tucker Carlson from last night.
All right, Sidney, I want you to respond to what Tucker Carlson said last night. Sidney, I don't know if you watched it, but Tucker Carlson said that he had invited you on his show to share evidence of the software flipping votes. And he said you got angry and refused to provide evidence for your claims of voting software flipping votes. How do you respond to Tucker Carlson? Did you get angry with the show because they texted you and asked you to please provide evidence of what you're alleging?
No, I didn't get angry with the request to provide evidence. In fact, I sent an affidavit to Tucker that I had not even attached to a pleading yet to help him understand the situation. And I offered him another witness who could explain the mathematics and statistical evidence far better than I can. I'm not really a numbers person. But he was very insulting, demanding, and rude, and I told him not to contact me again in those terms.
So Sidney...
So there you have that. Sidney Powell this morning on Fox News. She was asked to give a statement about what Tucker Carlson said on his show, and she didn't really respond to what he said on his show. What she did say was that she felt that when Tucker Carlson was reaching out before the show, and she said that she found him insulting and rude. Now, if that happened, well, shame on you, Tucker. You should not be so gung-ho for a story that you go over the top and you start berating the people that you want to interview. Now, I don't know that that happened for sure, but that's what Sidney Powell said. So let's just take her at face value. And maybe she didn't like Tucker's attitude when he was trying to get her on the show. And okay, that's fine. We'll give her that one. Absolutely, 100%. But what Tucker actually said on his program last night on the air, I don't have any problem with that. And he has always been, especially when you compare him to the other talking heads, he is the one that makes the most sense. And he's the one that consistently tries to go for the truth. He tries to go for the big story. And So that's the controversy. I don't think it's a controversy at all. I do not think, based on that clip that I played for you from his show last night, I don't think he sold out to the liberals. I don't think he switched teams. A lot of people on Twitter last night were saying that, you know, Fox News signs his paychecks, so ultimately he's never going to go against Fox News. He goes against Fox News all the time. And, you know, until he says or does something that makes me think otherwise, I think he's pretty good. And I liked his program last night, and I liked what he said. And she needs, she absolutely 100% needs to begin to speed up this process. She, you know, Greg Gutfeld was talking about how the liberals, for a four-year period, and they had 2.5 years of the Russian collusion, then they had the Mueller report, then they put Mueller on the stand, and then they tried to impeach Trump when they should have been preparing America for the coronavirus, and all this other stuff. But the difference is, they did that in a wide-open playing field, okay? Why do you think... Now, think about this. Why do you think that the liberal media conducted a 2.5 year phony campaign about phony Russian collusion? Why would they do that? Well, because they hate Trump, because they own the media, and they have the ability to do that. But what was different about what they did and what's happening now is there was no clock ticking. As soon as Donald Trump was sworn in as president, they knew that they had 4 solid years to make this man's life a living hell, to make his life miserable. And it was a 4-year time clock, and they have absolutely used every single minute of that 4-year time clock. There's no question about it. But Republicans don't have a 4-year time clock. They don't even have a 4-month time clock. We are 17 days past the election. And if Sidney Powell doesn't bring something meaningful to the table next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, then people are going to start to demand that the GSA or the GOA, I forget which group it is that declares that the incoming president can start their transition. But there is a group in Washington that does that. If Sidney Powell doesn't make a really strong, really meaningful case very, very soon, I'll give her one more week. And if she doesn't do it, then her window is going to be gone and her time is just going to dissolve like soap bubbles in the sunshine. It's just going to disappear one by one, and people aren't going to care because people need to see proof. And then, of course, as all these things are happening, I was talking with Lori D on the phone yesterday, and she lives in Pennsylvania. And she says that the lockdowns are, she thought yesterday that she would be under a lockdown by today. And that's what's happening in Pennsylvania and New York, and California's coming out with a new lockdown and all of these different things. So people really aren't going to care about election fraud if there's no real tangible proof, while those same people are facing food shortages, phony shortages, but they're still shortages. Remember 8 months ago with the toilet paper and it disappeared, and then you couldn't get cleaning supplies, then you couldn't get disinfectant wipes, then you couldn't get paper towels and all that stuff, then you couldn't get hand soap. Remember going for 3 months without hand soap and all these things. People aren't really going to care about who the next president is going to be while they're locked down, while they're not allowed to assemble for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. So the New World Order is actually in really good shape right now. They're in a very, very good position to be doing what they're doing. And they know it. They know it. And time is on their side. And they have the strength and they have the power. But like I said on our Monday podcast, I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think that God has cast his vote just yet. And I am still anticipating a wild card to come out of nowhere and absolutely change the landscape of everything. And if that does not happen, I am not predicting that, but I am hoping for that. But if that doesn't happen, then Joe Biden and Kamala Harris become the next president of the United States, and there'll be nothing that anyone can do to stop it. And then that will have been God's vote. So let's hope and let's pray that God has a wild card up his sleeve, and he's going to, I mean, think about it, right? If you remember when the prophet Elijah was facing the 450 prophets of Baal. And he said, let's have a contest. Let's both make an altar and let's fill it with wood and let's pray that whosoever God is God will send fire down from heaven and set the wood on fire. And then right before the contest started, he said, wait a second, let's up the ante. Let's dig a moat around both of our altars and let's fill it with water and let's have these wooden logs swimming in water. And then let's pray to see whose God is God, right? Could it be, and this is just wild speculation, but it's based on what I know about the nature and character of God. Could it be possible that God is allowing the Democrats to gloat and to be very satisfied that they have the victory well within their hands, right? Pete Buttigieg said yesterday, let me see if I can find this article. Pete Buttigieg said that he sees nothing on the table that will prevent Joe Biden from putting his hand on the Holy Bible on January 20th. And now, of course, that story I can't put my finger on, but I read it yesterday on Breitbart.com. And Pete Buttigieg, whatever his name is, he said that he sees nothing on the horizon that would stop Joe Biden from putting his hand on the Bible and being sworn in on January 20th. But man, oh man, can you? I want you just to imagine, just for a moment, I want you to imagine what would happen if on Monday, Sidney Powell, she reveals the evidence that she has, they go to court, and everything that she said and has alleged is true. And the vote is overturned because it was fraudulent, like she says that it is. Can you imagine? This wouldn't just be the injury to the liberals. This would be an insult that they would never get over if this country was to exist for another 500 years. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen if the Democrats, Joe Biden is already sending people to the Oval Office to measure for new drapes. That's how much that they are convinced that they have the whole thing in the bag. And just in case you're wondering what my position is, when I watched the election on November 3rd on Tuesday night and from around 10:20, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I watched as all across mainstream fake media, they all began to say, uh-oh, this is starting to look like 2016. This is starting to look like 2016. The Las Vegas betting odds switched. They had favored Biden, and around 10:30 Eastern time, even the Las Vegas betting odds switched from Biden to Trump. And everybody started getting excited. I started getting excited. And then you get to 11 o'clock, 11:10, 11:15, 11:20, and man, oh man, it looks like Trump is like an hour away from having this whole thing in the bag. He gets Florida, and it is like, this is it. He's got it. And then Pennsylvania goes dark. Georgia goes dark. They stop counting in Democrat states all across the country. And in the aftermath, of course, when we began to investigate those states that they stopped counting in, what did we find? Those were the states where you had Dominion voting. That's where they stopped counting. They were in those states where Facebook had already spent millions and millions and millions of dollars, and things were voting their way. And the longer that you spent investigating this, the more crooked that the thing got. And then by 2 o'clock in the morning, everything went black, everything went dark. And then by 4 o'clock in the morning, lo and behold, these votes started showing up out of nowhere. And people say, well, that was just mail-in ballots. Right. They find 138,000 mail-in ballots, and every single one of those ballots were for Joe Biden. We're supposed to believe Donald Trump didn't even get 10 votes in that group of 138,000 ballots that they found. And when you investigated a little bit closer, you found out that the voting machine company that is linked to Smartmatic, that it was started and is owned by George Soros, Dominion Voting is in 28 states. Would you like to know what some of those states are where Dominion Voting is? California, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan. You're starting to see a trend. You're starting to see a pattern. And we're supposed to believe, right, that this was a fair election, that votes weren't. See, this is why I believe Sidney Powell. This is why I think Tucker believes Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell needs to believe Sidney Powell, and she needs to start producing the evidence. But, like what I started to say, can you imagine what it would be like if next week, when the Democrats and all the liberal fake news media and all those people, they've been high-fiving themselves, they've been talking about President-elect Joe Biden. Can you imagine after all that gloating and celebrating that Donald Trump gets sworn in on January 20th? Now, there's only one person that I know, and I say that person with a capital P, there's only one person that I know that can make that happen. And that's not any Republican, that's not any Democrat, that's not any politician. The person with a capital P that can make that happen is the same person who, 4 years ago, enabled Donald Trump to beat the entire Republican machine, including the Bush crime family. It's the same person who only allowed Donald Trump to raise a little more than $100 million, and he allowed Hillary Clinton to raise $1 billion. And it's the same person who, when the combined might of the entire mainstream media came against Donald Trump, and up to the day of the election, they were posting things on Huffington News like this: Our pollster polls model give Hillary Clinton a 98.1% chance of winning the presidency. That was posted at 11:25 a.m. on November 7th of 2016. Well, there's only one person with a capital P that can make Donald Trump the next president, and that's God. He did it 4 years ago. There's no doubt in my mind that he did it 4 years ago. And things have, for different reasons, in 2020. But the degree of difficulty is not only equally hard, I believe it's harder in 2020. And you know what? That's exactly the way that the God of the Bible likes to work. God likes the odds to be against you. Why? Because then he steps in and he shows you his might and he shows you his power and he shows you his strength. All through the Old Testament, we read that God told King David, you know, when you go to battle, don't take more than 300 men with you. Don't number the people. Don't look at how many people you have on your side. That's why God told King David not to number the people. Because God didn't want King David to have a sense of strength in the fact that he had a large army. And God was consistently making the Israeli army of the Old Testament small and sending them up against tremendous odds so that when they got the victory, they would know. And Chrissy just said it, glory to God. That's how God works. And the reason why God allows the odds to be against you is so that when he delivers you, it is not simply a testimony for you, but it is a testimony and a witness to everybody who is watching you go through that. And when they see, wow, God delivered you from that. And then it's all glory to God. And people get saved by looking at stuff like that. Laodicean Christians get put back on fire when they experience God at that level. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to do that. I hope he does that. I want him to do that. And it is absolutely proof positive that if God does not do that, then Sidney Powell can have whatever she has and it's not going to amount to a hill of beans. Because if God's not in it, it's not going to get the job done. But this is where we stand. And so we will be watching very intently Sidney Powell and her team over the next couple of days, over the next week. But suffice to say that if something is not done, if there's no new revelation between now and next Friday, you can safely assume that it's not coming. So let's hope and let's pray that that God in 2020 will again be that same capital P person that is going to perform the impossible. And I love to watch God perform the impossible. He's done that in my life multiple times. Right now, I'm broadcasting this program to you from our beautiful new NTEB podcasting studios here in St. Augustine, Florida. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. It is every time that I walk through the door, it's like I can't believe that this is my studio. Well, because God gave it to me. I didn't get this for myself. I didn't, you know, make this happen. God gave this to me. And God has consistently in my life, he has done the impossible. He has done impossible things. And so I am hoping and I'm praying that he is once again is going to do the impossible. Now, if he does not, that doesn't mean that he's unable to do it. It just means that it is his will for the other side to take power, It is his will for the other side to take control. And that brings in a whole new set of possibilities, and that will greatly advance us on the end times timeline. So if you're a Bible believer, if you believe the book, if you love and read and trust and stand on the authority of the King James Bible, if you're born again, if you have Holy Spirit discernment, it's a win-win for us no matter what happens. It's just in one scenario, our life in America is a little bit easier, but it's still going to wind up at the same place. In the other scenario, we wind up at the same place, but we have to do it under communism, because that's exactly what a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris presidency will usher in. Now, speaking of COVID-1984 and communism, we reported to you just the other day that the governor of Pennsylvania, a man by the name of Tom Wolf, he has decreed that everybody in the state of Pennsylvania needs to start wearing a mask. They have a statewide mask mandate as well as a lockdown. But not only that, the decree to wear a mask is you have to wear a mask inside your own home. And that, to me, it's one thing if they're going to make you wear a mask when you go shopping at the grocery store. They're going to make you wear a mask when you go out to a restaurant. I kind of, on some level, I understand that a little bit. But to make you wear a mask when you're inside your own home with your own family? Oh, no, 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 no. Not for me. I refuse to do that. I will not do that. When my son brought COVID home 2 months ago, and like I told you, he had the positive test but no symptoms. I had the negative test, but I had the symptoms. And for a couple of weeks, I felt absolutely terrible. I felt unbelievably bad. And that's when, and it started the same week that my son brought home COVID. But I didn't wear a mask. He didn't wear a mask. We isolated ourselves in our home, but nobody wore a mask because that's just ridiculous. It's stupid. Now, people say to me, well, if you think masks are stupid, why do you provide them in your gospel toolkits, the large one and the small one? If you have ever ordered the mini gospel toolkit or the large gospel toolkit, it comes with a face mask that says KJB John 3:16. Why do we do that? Well, we do that because if you have to wear a mask at the grocery store, wouldn't you really rather wear a mask that's going to witness to lost people and to remind the saints about what's coming next for all of us? So yes, we absolutely do provide in our gospel toolkits, we do provide face masks that say John 3:16, KJB on those masks. And I think that, and I've worn mine a lot, and I have witnessed silently to a whole lot of people that way. And guess what? We are going to continue to sell those masks because there are parts of this country where people cannot function in public without having a mask on. And look, I'm not going to make such a stand that I'm going to be kicked out of my own grocery store. If you're going to make me wear a mask to get groceries, I'm going to wear the mask. Why? Because I want the groceries more than the inconvenience of wearing the mask. But there's limits to those things. I'm not going to wear a mask inside my house. I'm not going to wear a mask inside my car, ever. I saw a video on Twitter a couple of days ago where in New York City, the mayor and the governor, they have sent monitors to the Jewish section of, where did they send them to? Something Heights, not Washington Heights. It's oh boy, I can't remember the name of the place where there's a large Jewish population. And this video showed monitors from the state government with binoculars looking in the windows of Jewish people and monitoring them. And if they're gathering in too large of a number, then they're breaking into their homes and stopping it. Estevic is saying, I thought your governor DeSantis had rolled back the masks. Absolutely. Governor DeSantis has rolled back the mask wearing as a state mandate. But every business is allowed to decide for themselves if they want to require you to wear a mask. And there are some businesses, not a lot, but here in St. Augustine in Florida, there are businesses that will not serve you if you are not wearing a mask. So I keep my mask in my pocket wherever I go, because if I'm going to go into a place of business to get something that I need to have, I'm not going to make some stupid stand to say, you can't make me wear a mask, and then be turned away and not get what I need to have for me or my family. I mean, you have to use your brains and you have to use common sense. And just to simply say, you're not going to make me wear a mask, you would rather be kicked out of the grocery store and not be able to supply food for yourself and for your family, for your kids, because you won't wear a mask. A mask is not the mark of the beast. It's a step that's getting you there, absolutely, but a mask is not the mark of the beast. I'm not afraid to wear a mask. I'll wear it, no problem. But thankfully, here in Florida, about 92% of all businesses do not require mask wearing. So Pennsylvania, that's happening right now. They have a statewide mandate, as does California. And the lockdowns, Lori D said yesterday that she was anticipating a lockdown starting. So why are we so against Joe Biden? Why are we so against Kamala Harris? Why do we warn you so much about the liberals? And people say, well, isn't that just politics? No, that's not just politics. Because if it was just politics, who would really care, right? Politics come and go. Politicians come and go. But politics, as we see in the Bible, represent other things in other kingdoms and other spirits. The woman who is the chief of staff for Kamala Harris, who is on the verge of becoming the next president of the United States, the woman who is her chief of staff is a woman by the name of Karine Jean-Pierre. And Karine Jean-Pierre is a very passionate anti-Semite, anti-Israel, pro-Palestine, anti-Zion, anti-Christian radical. And that is the person who is currently serving as the chief of staff for Kamala Harris and is the person that everybody is speculating is going to be the next, if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris become the next president. This woman, Karine Jean-Pierre, is likely, highly likely, going to be the next press secretary of the president of the United States. And she is as radically anti-Semitic as they possibly come. Do you remember last year where MoveOn.org, a group that is funded and started by George Soros, they were congratulating the people who decided to boycott AIPAC? And AIPAC is the group here in America that represents Jewish interests. AIPAC stands for American Israel Public Affairs Committee. And AIPAC is the lobbying group that stands up for the rights of Israel and the Jewish people, both here in America and in Israel. And last year, on March 21st of 2019, MoveOn.org posted this tweet. They said, here is the list of 2020 presidential candidates who have decided to boycott AIPAC, and the list keeps growing. And then they say, who's next? Well, let's see who was on that list. Oh, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Julian Castro, Beto O'Rourke, Jay Inslee. Every single one of the names that I just mentioned are people who are very passionate anti-Semites. They are anti-Israel. They believe in carving up the nation of Israel to create a state of Palestine, and they support BDS, which is the movement which boycotts goods and services coming from Israel to other countries, but especially to the United States. BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions. So the boycott, that's the B, that's obvious. Divestment stands for getting American companies and organizations and foundations who invest in things that are created in Israel to pull their investments, sell their stock, to instead of investing, they divest and remove their financial support. And then, of course, we all know what a sanction is. So all these people that I just mentioned, but the top four especially, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, every single one of those people support BDS. They support boycotting AIPAC. They are against Israel. They are against the Jewish people. And one of those people is on the verge of becoming the president of the United States, and that is Kamala Harris. So do you see what a sticky wicket that we're in? Do you see the problem that we're having right now? Do you see where the tide is turning? This is not just politics, my friends. This is the Bible being played out. What does it say in Zephaniah? And let me just pull up that verse for you. The prophet Zephaniah says this in verse 8. Therefore, Zephaniah 3:8, therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that's United Nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, that's the United Nations General Assembly, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Now, why is God assembling the nations? Why is God assembling the kingdoms to pour upon them his fierce anger and his jealousy? Because the Bible says that in the end of times, all the nations of the world are going to form a league under Antichrist, and they are going to come against the nation of Israel. And in order to do that, they had to be assembled in the end of time. And they have been. Zephaniah 3:8, when you spend some time meditating on that, and you think about the United Nations, and you think about, they call themselves the United Nations General Assembly, and then you read Zephaniah 3:8, that should send cold chills down your spine. God said he's going to unite the nations and assemble the kingdoms. And 3 years before Israel is regathered, the United Nations in New York City gathers together They call themselves the UN General Assembly. God says, I will assemble the kingdoms. When the United Nations came into power in 1945, that was a direct fulfillment of the first half of Zephaniah 3:8. There is no question of any kind. And there you have it. So, if it's God's will that Kamala Harris becomes the next president, then what you're going to see is an America that is against Israel, that will absolutely, totally, and forever lose God's favor and blessing and protection. And America, under a President Kamala Harris, will be the first nation to sign up as part of the armies of Antichrist. Now, you might well ask, why do I keep talking about President Kamala Harris? Isn't it Joe Biden who has run for president? Yeah, Joe Biden ran for president. But Joe Biden's 78 years old, and Joe Biden is losing his mind. Joe Biden has early onset dementia. Joe Biden is in provable mental decline. And back on October 9th, we brought you the story of how Nancy Pelosi created a committee, a blue ribbon panel, to decide when the 25th Amendment gets applied to a sitting president. So, should it be God's will that Joe Biden becomes president, he's only going to be president for a very, very short time. And then Nancy Pelosi's 25th Amendment Commission, her blue ribbon panel, will move to have him removed. And he will go down as the 46th president of the United States. And that's really all that he wants. He knows that he can't do this job. He knows that he is losing his own mind. But when you're unsaved, when you have no hope of heaven, what you want is what this world has to offer. Can you imagine somebody who all they want is to be known as a president of the United States and they can die happy? Can you imagine what a miserable existence that must be? And not just being the president of the United States. Lost people, oh, if I can just accomplish such and such a thing, I can die happy. Well, if that thing that you're accomplishing is not something for the Lord, you can die happy all you want, but you're going to be miserable for eternity because you're going to be burning in hell. And I don't think it will be any consolation for Joe Biden as he burns in hell, knowing that he finally fulfilled his lifelong ambition of being a president of the United States. That's not going to be very comforting when you're the smoke of your torment is ascending up forever and ever and you have no rest day or night. That's not going to be much comfort at that time. So pray for Joe Biden and pray for Kamala Harris. These are lost, lost, lost people. And they are simply doing what lost people do. I don't hate these people personally. I really don't. I pity them. I feel sorry for them. When you look at the guy who runs Twitter, and he is as lost ever gets, and he is a multimillionaire, and he's in charge of telling people what they can say, what they can't say. He's put me on a 12-hour suspension because I dared to say that being transgender is a mental illness, and it is. If you're transgender and you're listening to this program, you need some help. But most of all, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Now, if you are transgender for real and you're listening to this program, I want you to go to nowtheendbegins.com and just go into the search bar and type Laura Perry. And I want you to listen to the interview that we did with her last year. And she was transgender, and she got saved. And part of the thing that led her to the Lord was listening to our Sunday night Bible study program. And I praise God for that. That's why we hold these programs, to help people. But Laura Perry got sucked up into the LGBTQ plus movement, and she surgically and chemically changed her body from a woman to a man. Now, of course, she wasn't able to change her DNA. She can't change her DNA. But her physical features, she had her breast removed. She had her uterus taken out. And that's sad. But she's not sad today. And the reason why she has something to shout about, the reason why Laura Perry has a huge smile on her face today, is because she got saved and she got right and she repented and she went back to being the woman that she was born as. And yeah, she has a couple of scars, but those scars pale in insignificance to the new life that she's found with Jesus Christ, and she is out there on the front lines of the end times every single day, taking the message of the gospel of the grace of God to other people who are trapped in the LGBTQ plus movement. So I want you to pray for Laura Perry, that God will continue to give her strength and courage. It's hard to go up against the LGBTQ. They are highly funded. They're vicious. They're powerful. But she does it every day of her life. And look at her. She has a beautiful smile on her face. She looks fantastic. And God has completely restored her life. So if you're LGBTQ, we're not against you. If you're gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgendered or queer or questioning, we're not against you. We want to help you. And the best help that we can give you is, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him, that whosoever is you again, should not perish, that's to die and burn in hell, but have everlasting life. That's eternity with Jesus Christ. And if you're LGBTQ, that's what God has for you today. And it will be the best decision you ever made. Nobody is born homosexual, transgendered, lesbian, queer. Nobody is born that way. But everybody is born in sin and in transgressions. And that's why Jesus says in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Why? Because Genesis 5:3 says, and Seth conceived, and Adam conceived a son and named his name Seth, in his own likeness after his own image. The reason why you have to be born again is because your first birth is no good. Your first birth is going to take you to hell. And you need to get born again, and God saves you and changes your eternal destiny. And Jesus says, all that the Father has given me, none have I lost. And if you're saved, that's going to be you. And that will be the best choice that you could ever possibly make. And with that, we're out of time for today. I hope this program was a blessing for you. And a lot of people have been saying how much they enjoy the NTEB Sunday morning house church services that we've had for the last 2 weeks. Well, Lord willing, we're going to do it again this Sunday morning, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have a church that you can go to where the King James Bible is preached, then you need to go to that church. But if you don't, please join us. We would love to have you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend. See you back here Sunday morning, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of the NTEB House Church Sunday Morning Services. Take care.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye. Time.